Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. I want to send a shout out to all my grandkids, both back in Birmingham and here. They're online watching their papa. Already got an email, a video actually, from the ones in Birmingham. Said, "Papa, we're praying for you. Papa, we love you." Grandkids are just the best, I got to tell you. I tell people all the time it's the reward for not killing our kids when they were growing up, and that's really true. But I'm really excited to be here today, and this was planned long before John got sick, so this is not in response to John's sickness, but the Lord gave me a word for this body of people that I'm so excited to give to you, and John is probably, it's no probably about it, he is the reason I'm still in the kingdom of God today and I'm serving God today at the measure and level that God has allowed me to. I love that man. Amen. I don't even have a brother or sister that I love any more than I love those two people. And I want to encourage you as a church. You've been here before. God was faithful then, and God will be faithful again. Amen. We saw this before. And I stood here to try to encourage the congregation. And sometimes with all the prayer that they were doing, the best thing we could say is Kathy is still with us. She hadn't passed on into glory. She's still with us. And people manned the prayer walls. I had a conference call or a call with the prayer team. I really wanted to be here yesterday, and the weather just permitted, and we shift a little bit. Probably the wisest thing that I could do because I didn't encounter any weather, and the Lord's presence was in the vehicle with me the entire time, and I could feel the presence of the Lord. And it was like sick him to a bulldog. I couldn't wait to get here this morning and share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. But one of the things I want you to do is forget who's speaking the word. Look up in heaven and said, God is talking to me today. He is encouraging me today. The Lord has a word for me today. I need you to listen differently today. Forget about the vessel. Listen to the message that God is going to deliver through even this vessel. This is a very, 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 very important time in the history of the church as well as the history of the nation. And sometimes when we step back and people give us a different view, and we said, I didn't see that. Thank you for sharing that with me. You know, as long as the devil can play hide and seek with you, as long as he can deceive you and turn your attention in a different way, his goal is accomplished. His goal is accomplished. Because it's always about deception. It's always about deception. And one of the keys to really be able to measure, am I being deceived, is wondering, can I get into the Word of God and lay my life over it and find the empty and broken places and be able to take truth and lean into it, regardless of what my opinions are, regardless of what my color of skin is, and all this other stuff. I want to tell you about two impactful visions real quick, but because I'm kind of short on time this morning, I want to ask you to do a couple of things real quick. If you got a Bible, wherever it is, pick it up, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then I want you to hold that place, and then the next place I want you to turn to is going to be the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. This has always been a celebration of Martin Luther King Day. John and I both admired Martin and what God did through that man. He wasn't perfect, just like any of us. We got issues. Don't look at me like you don't have issues. Because if you don't think you got an issue, that's your issue. Okay? Somebody needs to get in your face and say, you know what? You don't want me to tell you this, but you got issues, and here's your issue. We all got issues. We all are broken in some place. And it's God and the power of Jesus that rallies around us. In this vision, I saw Martin standing on a hill overlooking America. And he's weeping. And he's shaking his head. For those of you that are African American that look like me, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading his words. He's weeping over the nation. And all you could do was just barely make out the sounds that are coming from his mouth. You had to get real close to be able to hear what he was saying. And the words I heard broke my heart. He says, "This is not my dream. This is not it. This ain't it." I want to read a quote from Martin's speech, "I Have a Dream." And I want you to just listen to what it says. "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out its true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, that the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." What has this all been about? What has directed us to an evil that this nation has had at its very core that needs to be eradicated? Racism. But we've made it about the color of the skin and not about character. Let me just tell you, I've seen it over and over in the sports world and other business world where people, gifts and talent can take them places that their character can't sustain them. You've seen it. And people wonder, my God, how could a guy that earns millions of dollars do such stupidity? And I said, if he was a thug before, now he's just a thug with money. He didn't change his character. Whatever is in a person must be addressed if you're going to see transformation and reformation coming. The title of this message is Revival Plus Transformation. And grab this word. Don't throw it away, because sometimes people throw it away because they're thinking about an event and the time. It brings about reformation. Revival. I want to give you a couple of definitions of what revival is. How many of you are praying for revival right now? The rest of you ought to be, if you ain't. But one of the things that we think about, and the first thing that comes to our minds and hearts when we think about revival, is that we think about those people that are not in the kingdom of God coming into the kingdom of God. Do you realize that that's not revival, but that's a result of revival? Revival comes from a root word that means revive. That's what it is. You can't revive something that's never been alive. If a person is outside of Christ Jesus, he's never accepted the Lord, the Bible calls him dead in his sins. You can't revive that. He's dead. He's never been alive. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about us. We, those that called on the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're the one that needs to be revived. So when we get revived, we go out and do what we've been commissioned to do all along. And guess what? People get transformed. Their minds get renewed because the truth comes in and it does a work in the heart. No law can't do that.
That's right.
No law can do that. Actually, I'm looking at this, and it's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. I can't say it strong enough. That's the strongest word I can use, and people won't start throwing stuff at me. It's asinine what I see people doing. And I go, I had a gentleman back in Birmingham that wanted me to sign a petition, and it was all good stuff. And I asked him a couple things. I said, "Let me ask you something. Where is this going?" He said, "It's going to my constituents." I said, "Well, you are a Christian ministry, and you represent other Christian ministries, right?" I said, "That's like preaching to the choir." I said, look, if you're trying to reach the world, they ain't going to read that. They already know what we, the church, is against. What they don't know is what we fought. I said, you're going nowhere with that. So if it's the wrong audience and it's in the wrong heart, we got a big problem. Here's the problem we have in the world. The world will agree, for those that even want to name the name of Christ or God, that he's love, but they don't want to receive truth. And the church, God bless our hearts, we want to give truth, but we don't want to encapsulate it in love. And that don't work, folks. God will never give you someone you can't love. Because love is his, that's who he is. He's love. He just doesn't have love. The Bible says he is what love is. So how can you give them God or give them truth without capsulating them in love? So the big question that we're facing in our nation right now, what time is it? What's going on? And what I want you to do today, if you possibly can, is set your opinion to the side. Because most of the time when we go to God and we're praying to God, we already have a mindset and he already knows it of what he wants them to answer. And so we're looking for him to put a stamp of approval on it. He didn't work that way, folks. He's God and he acts like it. And he really doesn't give a rip about your opinion. Or your political party, or your race, all those other things that you use to describe yourself. Because if you're a follower of Christ, there is no such thing that comes before him. I never, ever, and I instilled this in my boys, and they've instilled it in my grandkids. They know who they are. They are not black and white Christians. They are Christians that are black or white or whatever the color is. I've told this story before. I'm by trade is I have a serial chemist background, and because I was a baker, and one of the things, and I challenge you to look at this, look into it if you don't believe I'm telling the truth, and that is that the first ingredient in any product is the most dominant ingredient in that product. Let me say it this way: you take it out, it ceases to be what it is. In Alabama, is the state with the greatest consumption of salty snacks and pop. We call it pop. Okay. Amen. Somebody said amen. It is. If you cannot write an ad, I've been in the retail business 38 years. You cannot write an ad in Alabama that doesn't have Coke or Pepsi or some other brand drink in it and expect people to shop your store. They're not going to do it. That's the first thing to look at. Okay, is it going to be Pepsi or Coke this week? Who's going to be the lead in that? But in every ingredient, no matter what, or in every can of pop, no matter what the flavor is, the number one ingredient is what? What do you think it is? You know, most people say that. You know what it is? It's carbonated water. You take carbonated water out, and you don't have pop. I don't care what flavor, how much sugar, you got a mess on your hand, you take the carbonated water out. It's the dominant ingredient in the product. When you take Jesus out as number one, you got a convoluted mess on your hand. Thus, that becomes our society. I have never seen so much craziness in all my life. You got people inside of families that are not, don't want to associate with each other because they got different political opinions about that. Instead of being able to rally around the one thing, the greatest thing, the most important thing, which is Christ Jesus. All that other junk, I don't care what it is. I understand. I've got an opinion. I'll keep it to myself of how I vote and what I believe. But I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm here to talk about is pointing you back to Christ. You're never going to come. That is never going to work, folks, nor is it intended to. Let's look and let's find out through Scripture here this morning, what time is it? What is going on in the earth? What does the world do?
First of all, let me just tell you real quickly, there's only two, Charles alluded to this earlier, there's only two kingdoms. Kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to say something that may shock you guys a little bit. My grandmother had an expression, and I'm going to soften it a little bit this morning for your virgin ears, because we're inside church, okay? She would look at something that we did, and she would tell us, you got to do that over. You did that butt backwards. Now, she didn't say butt. You can imagine. You put the adjective in there. You understand what I'm saying. But her point was, is that I didn't do it according to the way it was designed to be done. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world are just opposite of each other. The world says the more you keep, the more you get. The kingdom says the more you give away, the more you get. It's more blessed to give than receive. The kingdom of God, it says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then be a servant to all. That's the way we do it in the kingdom. And Jesus will exalt you. Humble yourself. He exalts humility. Humility becomes a springboard to promotion in the kingdom. But what time is it? I want you to read this with me. I'm going to, for the sake of time, going to move along. But you got the point of revival. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, from here on, about transformation that brings about reformation. Let's look at what it is. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, but you need to be aware, this is from the Passion Translation, be aware that in the final days, the culture of society would become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. Whoa. Aren't we there? Listen, people will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander, slaves to their own desires. They will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint. Bigotry, wrapped in clouds of deceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from these kinds of people. But God has got a plan. When will these things happen? In the last days. How many believe we, if it was the last days then, how close are we to the last days now? Yeah. Written over 2,000 years ago. Folks, it's the last days. Yeah. These are those days. This is being played out like a script across our country right now and around the world. And the devil knows something. If America fails, as America goes, not only does the nation of America go, but many nations go. Because it's a leader in the free world. It's a leader of democracy. It's a leader pointing to a foundation was founded in God. A foundation which God is on the top of it. Don't you know that it's the enemy that wants to tear that down? Oh my God, can we be so blind to partner with what the enemy wants to do? I've seen some things. I had to get off social media. It was just rattling my brain. It's like, really? You really believe that? And I'm thinking, oh my God. And if I have a different opinion, oh mercy. Like, I'm an old Southern boy. I grew up in Louisiana. And I saw the civil rights movement as a child. And I have some opinions about that, but I also have some experience of it as well. And let me just tell you, I never, ever doubted that God was going to win. It was never a doubt. God's going to see this through. He's going to get the glory for this, and we're going to see God triumph on our side. Why? Because we were not just thinking God was on our side, we was on God's side. We were on God's side. Now, I know people did crazy stuff and all that, but I'm just telling you, as a little child, 6, 7 years old, that's what I believed. Because I couldn't imagine a God that would allow certain things happen that I saw happening. So this is what's happening in our nation, and not only in our nation, throughout the world. Get a grip on that. That's what he's doing. And it's only divide to separate you, to part you away, because when you're together on one accord, you got power. But when you are divided, separated, and all the kind of isms and disms and over here and there, you're playing right into his hands. I want to take you back to this and because this is so powerful. In fact, I'm going to give you an assignment. I've never done that before. And I will never know if you did it or not. But God knows. But I'm going to give you an assignment. Read the entire book of Acts. I was praying when the Lord landed this on me. And I said, God, there's so much going on in the world. I want to be able to go and give the people a word of encouragement. What are you doing? Well, he says, oh, I'm doing the book of Acts. And I go, oh my God. Don't think to strange people. You've got computers. You've got electronics that whenever they go into a fault or a place where electrical something malfunctions and it shuts itself down, when you reboot it, it takes you what? Back to the factory settings all over again. It goes back to its default. And one of the words that I heard way back in March, I said, God, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing a divine reset. I'm resetting. People don't have time for me. I'm going to give them time.
Yes. That's right.
I'm going to use what the enemy meant for evil. I'm going to use it for good.
Yes.
He's taken the church thinking that he's taking them out the building and shutting them out. And, oh, my God, all he did is scatter them. Because there will always come a day when you come to the face-to-face and you're staring at, do I really believe what I believe is really real? But there has to be a time for unrighteousness, unholiness, to be unveiled and uncovered so you can deal with it. When you're shut off and ain't nobody but you in the room. And he already knows your thoughts, by the way. It is reported that in the United States that Christians pray less than 1 minute a week. We think that salvation is the goal, that people just get saved. Oh, my God. So we've made salvation and posture salvation as the goal instead of gateway. It's a gateway to a new life. It's a life that it's so powerful that the Bible calls it eternal life. It's not just living forever. You're going to live forever somewhere. Okay? That's not the point. The point is, if you're going to live God's kind of life, he calls it eternal life. And he didn't save you just to take you to heaven, or he killed you right then. He wants his kingdom to come here on earth, here and now. That's what kingdom looks like. Every king is all about expanding his kingdom. He's all about expanding the kingdom. And I've got, it's sickening to hear people, well, if God takes me home, I go, for what? What are you going to do there? You can't bring him any more glory than you've already sent ahead. You can't take him any more praise than you're already there. You can recognize it. But you understand what I'm saying? And there's nobody in heaven that needs to be saved. So now when your work is done, you go home. But until your work is done, you stay here in the field where works come. Man, I got 8 minutes. You guys got to listen a lot faster than I'm talking. Okay, let's turn now. Let's peer into Acts 2. And then I'm going to give you a few things to close this out to help you understand. On that day, The day of Pentecost was fully, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard a sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of heaven, the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering that it was all anyone could bear. Then at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire and engaged each of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had not learned. That's power, folks. That's the birth of the New Testament church. That's us. We didn't come in a weakling, sniveling people. We came in power. They all stood dumbfounded, astonished, saying to one another, "What is this phenomenon?" Now, this is let me kind of set the scene because I don't have time to read all the verses. This is a scene that represented from all the Roman Empire was in the city in that time. And they're hearing these Galileans speak in their own native dialect and language. And they said, aren't these just Galileans? They're unlearned. They didn't go out and, you know, what is going on? What is this phenomena that's going on? I tell you, folks, America is going to be revisited again by the power of God. Yes. And there will be no doubt that God is real.
That's right. That's right.
When he comes up, there's a time, you know, he does this thing of just helping us work. And then there's a time he just, get out of my way. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. Not just because of you, but because of my great name. You see that in the Old Testament. He says, look, you guys have done a blasphemous job representing me. So I'm going to step in here, and for the sake of my great name, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to show out. There ain't no doubt that there's a God in heaven. Now, I want to skip down to this because this is so important. You got to get this. Here's Peter, and he stands up, and he begins to preach to the people and then explain to them what's going on, because folks think these folks are drunk at the very least. And he said, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody drinks at 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk as you suppose. Let's pick up the story right there. And then I want to kind of share with you just some insights I believe that the Lord wants to. Peter stood up in the midst of the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need to clearly understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel. For God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and for your young men to see visions, your old men to experience dreams from God. I'm still getting dreams and visions, so I don't know what that means, but maybe I'm kind of in the middle of that thing. Yeah, middle age, there you go. According to God. That the Holy Spirit will come upon them and they experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all servants, men and women alike. And they all will prophesy. I will reveal startling signs and wonders in the skies above and the mighty miracles in the earth below. Blood and fire and pillars of clouds will appear from the sun. The sun will turn dark and the moon blood red before that great day and awesome appearance of the day of the Lord. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when they heard this, they were crushed. And they realized what they had done with Jesus. And they asked, what will we need to do, brothers? What do we need to do? You see, people, when we preach the Word of God carries power. When we begin to water the Word of God or compromise the Word of God, guess what? It loses its power. Love is the instrument that carries that. Why? Because people, God loves people. When will these things happen? In the last days. Do you believe that these are the last days?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Then you also need to believe what Scripture said. So I believe there is never a time where the Holy Spirit has been taken out of the church. We got so many things going on in our way of worship and doing things and ministering and programs and all those kinds of things that we just sprinkle a little God dust on it and it's good to go. No, but it's barred power. It's going to take the power of God to break you, to break me, and to break the world. You see, we think that God just wants to save people and take them to heaven. No. He wants heaven to come to earth. And he's put you in that place. I want to pick out just a couple of things. I don't have time to read all this. You can do it on your own. But I want to just pick out a few things that I want you to see that took place in that early church. This is Acts 12 through 14. This is so important in the time that we're in. They devoted themselves. These are the people that were being added to the church on an ongoing basis as the word of God, preached in power, was taking place. They devoted themselves to the preaching and teaching of those gods, those leaders that God had put in place. They devoted themselves to the truth of God's word. You want somebody that's going to open the book of the Bible and read from the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the word of God, because the word of God is the will of God and the will of God is the word of God, and you can't separate those two. This is the next thing. Their hearts was linked together by love for God and for each other.
Amen.
Oh, man. You want some power?
Unity, yeah.
That's unity. That is the fulfillment and an earthly picture of what Jesus was praying in John 17, 21. That we'd all would be one. As he and the Father are one. That's my life's verse. That's the fulfillment of that life verse in very practical ways. They shared together everything they had. And so here's the deal. In this dream, I ran to this guy, and he had a beautiful motor home. And I said, you know, bro, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to want to sell that, because you're going to have brothers and sisters that are going to need the proceeds that comes from it. And you see nowhere in Scripture where the apostles told them to do this. It was out of love, that motivation of love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to see wonders and great miracles occur around them. And the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, the preachers, they saw great miracles come from them. I know it's 11 o'clock and the internet is going to sign off. And so I'm going to say, bless you guys. Read the book of Acts. Be encouraged. The same Holy Spirit that came then is here on the earth right now. And he is in you. Do you realize this, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. If you get a hold of that, it's mind-boggling. I just lost my audience, but I'm going to finish up with just a couple of things that I want to share with you guys. Just another 5 minutes. Bear with me. They shared everything. They shared in common communion and prayer on a continuous basis. What is communion and prayer, and who is it for? It's Jesus. That's what they were doing. Jesus commanded his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. And so Jesus was before their face every day and homes to homes. And there's something about fellowshipping together, and the biblical word is koinonia, and it's really about sacrificing what you have for the good. It has nothing to do with what you feel like. That's the original word. It means that I am going to give myself to prayer and fellowship. You know what? Because I love Caesar as I love myself.
I'm going to throw this in for you. I've never seen a culture that's got as big of an identity problem as this culture has. And there's very little difference between the church, in the church, and out of the church. And let me just ask you, if you don't love you, how can you give away something that you don't have? I know, it's just way too simple. It doesn't have to be hard, folks, but it does take faith to engage that I believe what that word says. I don't understand it. I can't give all of the explanation behind it. I just believe God said it. I believe it, and I'm going to see the fruit of it happen in my life. A couple other things. They responded with great signs. The response was great signs and wonders took place around them, in them, through them, and the apostle. There was a holy awe swept over everyone. And you'll see this demonstrated later when you have a husband and wife that tries to deceive the Holy Spirit because the devil's got in them. They sell some property and Ananias and Sapphira, and they fall dead. Why? Because there was a holiness around truth. And we have lost, even as a culture. Growing up, there were people that knew I was a follower of Christ, and there were things that they would not do or would not say, or if they curse or something, they would quickly apologize for it. You'll never find that again now. There's no awe of God. There's no respect of God. And those are the people in the world, let alone the ones that do church. As a matter of fact, there's most times you can't tell much difference between one another. We've lost that awe of who God is. And God has given us an opportunity and time to reconnect with Him. Reconnect to His heart. Reconnect to who He is. He's a loving, the Father is a loving, caring Father beyond your imagination. And the last one, they were in fellowship. Again, there's that word, koinonia again, together as one body. Not all these splits and things like that. And all of the things that separate and divide. The enemy loves is having a field day in the church right now. And most of it, folks, 2 seconds after you're dead is not going to matter one iota. One iota. Rally around the name of Jesus. Rally around what's important. That's Him. He is the most important thing. There's no one like Him. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray a blessing, an impartation on you to look at the Word of God differently. And don't. I wish I could say this strong enough. I can't. I don't have words for it. But as strong as I know how to say it, I'm going to say, don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise who you are in Christ. Don't give in. But lean into Christ right now. He's our only hope. Justice, one side is saying, we want justice. Valid point. Another side, we want righteousness. Guess what? Both of them are the foundation of God's throne. Both justice and righteousness. Righteousness deals with the inside. Justice deals with the outside. And God wants us to carry both. Am I making sense to you? You getting it? I wish I could say, I have a lot more I could say, but I think you get the point. Let's pray. Father, I know you love this people. You are so enamored with their hearts, and that you want their hearts, and you have a work to do in and through them. And you do a work through in them so you can do a work through them. You have purposes and plans for every person in the sound of my voice right now. Father God, I just pray that you would bring to their hearts and minds the awe of who you are. That the Holy Spirit would land on this. All of those in the sound of my voice right now would be able to say, I want a new and fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. Come, Lord God, and I've leaked out. I've compromised. I've not focused on you. Whatever the word is, whatever fits the situation. But Lord, I really want you above anything else. I want you. Would you come and fill me once again, fresh and anew, Lord? Return the awe of loving you that fills my heart and allows me to love everyone around me. That we rally against the around the name of Jesus, which is high above every name you've given up on earth and under the earth and above the earth is the name of Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, let us bring that which is far greater than anything else we may be opposed to. Let us rally around the name of Jesus. And if you know Jesus, we got all things in common in terms of now and eternity. So, Lord, I pray that you bless these people. I pray that there was a word that they heard that they would grab hold to and say, that's for me. I want to see and respond. I want to shake my head and get out of this cloud and rise above this situation. Lord, let your church arise in this hour. We need to see your people as one. Your body is not fragmented and divided as we see it in the natural. It is not that way. Let us give a glimpse from your perspective, Lord, what you see. Break our hearts with what breaks yours, Lord. I love these people, but you love them more. Help them, oh God. Help them, oh God, in this time of need. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.